Today we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25 in the Word of God. And the title for this new message that might take us a few weeks, you know the drill, right? either that or I preach for 2 hours. I mean, you choose, right? It's called the Living Word. The Living Word. In 1 Peter 1, 22 to 25. As you know, words are very powerful tools. Our words can praise the Lord. Amen? Our words can preach the gospel. And our words can encourage the weak and instruct all of us in the ways of the Lord. On the other hand, our words can also be used for evil. Right? As we gossip or slander or complain and even curse. As Christians, we must always be mindful of the words that we speak. Amen? We need to be mindful, because some have taken these to an extreme that is unbiblical and very dangerous. I'm referring to those who teach and believe that they can speak things into existence. You know what I'm talking about? They name and claim it, crown. They have that power, they think, by the power of their own words. I'm here to tell you, using God's word, that this is not the case, right? The only one that has such power to create things into existence out of nothing, ex nihilo, as it says in the Latin, out of nothing, the only one is God. The only one is God. He spoke, and the universe came into being. Alright? Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be animals, and there were animals. Whatever he said came to pass. By the way, whatever he said in his word, all his promises will also come to pass. Amen? Everything that he said has come to pass or will come to pass. Today, God still speaks with power, creating new life in Christ, in those who listen to his word. You got to listen, right? There's a big difference between hearing, as we will see, and listening. Why most marriages end up in divorce? Because they don't listen. I don't know, that's what my wife says sometimes. You don't listen to me. Only by the grace of God, right? We're together 40 years. Woo! Amen. Glory to God. But we got to listen. It's a big difference. Many people hear, but they don't listen. Listen is when the communication comes from words and it becomes a reality in your mind and in your heart. All right? It's a big difference. Remember when Paul was persecuting Christ and there was a big light in the way, and Jesus was talking to him? Everybody heard the noise, but he heard Saul, why are you persecuting me? Huh? It's a big difference. There's a sound, but only those who are close to God and want to listen can hear what God says. Now, the Word of God is living and powerful. If we build our lives upon the words of Jesus, then, like it says in Matthew 7, 25, 24 and 25, we will live and we shall stand firm upon the rock. And no matter what comes to our lives, we will stand. Right? In this sermon, I want to speak about the living Word of God. The Word of God, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, is sharper than any sword. It shines brighter than all the stars in the universe. And it is more powerful than all the nuclear bombs together. If you put all the nuclear bombs in Iran, they say they're building some bombs over there, and all the ones in all the world, they got nothing on the Word of God. The Word of God can bring life and death. Now, this is the Word that we preach. This is the Word that we believe. And this is the Word, the living Word, that purifies. That's my first point. The Word of God purifies. The Word of God purifies. We see it in verse 22 in our text. And work with me now. It says, since you have purified your souls. Now, we got to believe what the Bible says, right? Here it says that you have purified your souls. Now, does that mean? Let's do some interpretation here. Does that mean that we in ourselves have the power to purify ourselves? No. But it says you have purified your souls. How does that work? Well, let's see what it says in John. In John 15, verse 3. All right? And it says, Jesus told the apostles, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. All right? Word of God. It says, you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Now, does that mean that every person that hears God's word is purified? Huh? No, right? Because the Bible says that many are called and what? And few are chosen. So everybody, almost everybody is called by the gospel. But very few. Look at this church. Very few. Right? Are chosen. Very few come to church. Very few obey the gospel. You see, I think the key here is this. It's a connection. We don't purify ourselves on our own. And the Word of God does not purify us just by magic. You sit down, you come to church, you hear a message like today, and boom, you're purified. No. There's got to be what? A connection. Right? There's got to be engagement. There's got to be participation. There's got to be submission to God's word. Because, I mean, you can hear God's word until you die. But if you don't respond, if you don't receive it, if you don't submit to it, it's not going to be of any effect. It's like some people, have you seen that some people put it, the biggest Bible of the world, they open it in the middle of the living room. Have you ever seen that? I've seen it. And they open it up in their car, right? They never read it, but it's there. You know, the Word of God is not a magic amulet or something like that. It's something that is alive. That's why I call this sermon the living word. It's a living word. Because it's alive and because it brings life. But those who hear it need to be engaged, need to participate. I ask you, when you come to church, do you come with that attitude? Do you come with an attitude of praise and engaging God's word? Or are you thinking about whatever? You know, there's so many things to think about. They say, people that know stuff, that we think four times faster than people can talk. So by the time I say something to you, you probably thought about four things already. Right? Could be good things. Could be things about the Bible. Could be any other thing. So you got to fight that and be concentrated. Remember like Martha and Mary? And what did Jesus say to Martha? Martha, you know, I know you have to wash the dishes. There's a lot of things you got to do. But Mary has chosen what? The best part. How many times are you going to get the chance to have Jesus Christ in your house to teach you God's word? How many times in your life you have the chance to be exposed to God's word when they preach it to you, and you're going to be thinking about whatever's going on in your life or in your house or anything else? You need to concentrate. You need to engage. Let me explain it with my second point. My second point is this. Our souls are purified as we obey the truth. See? This will explain it a little better. Because it says in 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls, not by yourselves, right? But it says, in obeying, you see it there? That's the engagement I was talking about. In obeying what? The truth. And the word of God is the truth. Okay? Now there are people that say, oh, the Bible contains God's word. Run away from those people. Oh, the word of God has truth. No, the word of God, the Bible is God's word and is the truth. It doesn't contain, it doesn't have, it is the truth. And it says that you have been purified through your obeying the truth, through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. See, even the Holy Spirit uses God's word. It's not a magical thing that he comes and, no, he uses God's word. If you read John 14, 15, and 16, it says, I'm going to send you another comforter, another helper, and he will what? Remind you of the words that I have spoken to you. But to be reminded about something, you got to read it first, right? You got to read it first. You got to be in the word. And then it's like your memories. You have memories of things that happen in your life, right? Remember the first time you learned to ride a bike? Huh? I remember. I almost died like five times. Right? It's right here. You know, right here. They told me, right? I don't know if I was playing around or if I was that dumb. Probably it was B. And they told me, when you ride a bike, you have to look down. So I looked down, and I crashed against a wall. So they told me, no, when you ride a bike, you need to look up. Okay, so I looked back, I look up, and there was a pothole, you know, and I ate it. So they say, no, you have to, you know, maintain, right? Up and down, everywhere. So I remember that. Well, the same thing with God's word. The Holy Spirit will remind you of God's word in your life as we obey it. It says it there. It says it as we obeying the truth through the Spirit. In John 17, verse 17, easy to find, right? 17. And it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So the only method of salvation and sanctification and purification is through God's word. It's not positive thinking. It's not, you know, 10 steps or 20 steps or anything like that. You got to go through God's word. You got to obey it. You got to obey it and not play games. See, it reminds me of James. Remember James? Now, James put it really good. Look what it says in James 1:22. It says, but be doers. You get it? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Every time you come to church and you hear a sermon like this and you don't do anything about it, or you do the contrary, the opposite, you know what you did? You didn't deceive the pastor. You didn't deceive Christ. You deceive yourself. And I deceive myself. You're playing games. Oh, I went to church and I looked like a Christian and I even say amen sometimes. But you're deceiving yourself. James says you got to be a doer of the word. You got to obey it. Okay, you have to receive it, apply it, practice it in your life, and not play games. See, talking about the difference between hearing and listening, remember in John chapter 6, when Jesus was preaching to how many? 5,000 at least, he said. 5,000 men. It could have been, right? A lot. 20, 30,000 people. Mega church. Huh? What a chance Jesus had. He had a mega church right then and there. Forget about Joel Osteen in Texas or nobody. He had a mega church. Amen? He could have just said a couple of stories and keep it, the bread and the fish coming. And he had it made. All of Israel would have followed him. But you see, Jesus preaches the truth, God's word. You see? And when you preach God's word, things happen. Only those who are really called by God follow the words. Remember, everybody left at the end of John chapter 6? And Jesus said to the remaining one, 12, well, 11, there was one that was with the devil, right? But 11. And he said, you want to go too? See? And what did Peter say? You are the only one that has what? The living word. Words of eternal life. Where are you going to go if you reject Jesus? We shouldn't play games. We shouldn't reject God's word. The word of God demands obedience, and the word of God produces obedience at the same time. Whatever God demands, he produces in our lives. Now, when we come to the living word, our souls are purified as we obey the truth. And you know what else is purified? Our love. Our love. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul told us, it doesn't matter what you do. If you don't do it with love, it's just like empty, right? So we need to confess that our love needs to be purified as well. Look what it says in verse 22. Again, another part of verse 22. It says, since you have been purified, your souls, in obeying the truth through the Spirit. And then look at what it says. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Sincere love. Sincere love. You know what that word is in the Greek? It's the word anupokritos. Anupokritos, which means without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. Without acting. All right? There's a lot of masks. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, there was this thing with the social distance and the mask. Remember, everybody wore masks. They even began to design the mask. You know, hey, they make a business out of everything. All right. But this word sincere in Spanish is very interesting. It's very similar to English. You just change the E at the end for an A. And it's sincera. Sincera. Which is actually a breakdown of two words in Spanish. Sin. Now in English, sin means what? Sin. Evil. Wickedness. Rebellion. But in Spanish, sin means without. Without. And then cera means wax. Wax. In other words, we need to be and live our lives without wax. And you say, where do you get that? Well, in the times where this was written, the Greeks created, they created a lot of things, or they discovered a lot of things, like medicine, philosophies. But they were good at what else? Acting. Drama. Have you seen the masks that they use? Ones were, you know, angry or happy or confused or whatever. So when they were acting, they would put on this mask. They never show their face. It's like the clowns when you go to a circus, right? The clowns could be, you know, a man or a woman, but you wouldn't know because they put all that makeup, all that stuff. Well, Paul and Peter is calling us here to say, when you live your life as a Christian, especially with other believers, especially in church, take off your mask. Okay? Take off your mask. Be who you are. Be who you are. Be sincere. Have a sincere love. And then he says, a fervent love with a pure heart. Fervent. You know what fervent is, right? Boiling, passionate love. And with a pure heart. Talking about purification. See, there is no place in the church for lukewarm believers. What did Jesus say about lukewarm? I'm not going to do it because, you know, I respect, but, right? I will spit you out of your mouth. Out of my mouth. And there's no place for hypocrites in the church either. Now, I know people in the world say that sometimes. What do they say? The church is full of what? Hypocrites. You know? So is the world. Right. But sometimes, it's true. Sometimes we act like hypocrites. Sometimes it's true. Now, in this world, you will find three kinds of people. Three kinds of people. All right? You will find friends, people that like you, that love you. Everybody would prefer to have friends, right? Or you will find enemies, or you will find hypocrites. Well, I prefer friends, right? And secondly, if I had to choose, I would choose enemies, because I know where they're coming from. A hypocrite, you don't know, right? So let us not be hypocrite. Let us be purified in our love. In point D, we see that our faith is also purified. And we are purified by faith. In Acts 15, remember we talked about it a couple of weeks ago? Acts 15, when we were talking about the business meeting of the church. They gathered together and all the stuff that we talked about. But in John 15:9, it says, well, let me read from verse 8. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledge them. Acknowledge who? The Gentiles. From the house of Cornelius. It says, acknowledge them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And made, verse 9, no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by what? By faith. Which is the same thing as I mentioned before. What is faith? Faith is obedience, obeying the call of the gospel. In Romans 1:17, what does he say in Romans 1:17? Faith comes by hearing. I'm sorry, that was not the one. Well, yeah, that one is good too. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. And it is written, the just shall live by faith. We need to live by faith as we obey the word of God. Now, another way that the word of God purifies us is as we walk closer with God. I don't know about you, but lately, I think I'm beginning to lose my hearing. And sometimes, you know, they say stuff to me, and I had to, like, do what? Right? Have you ever? It's like I've seen people reading here in the church. What do they do? Right? Have you done this lately? Right? And the hearing, so for the reading, we go like this. For the hearing, we go like this. I mean, you know, sometimes all I hear is, Alex, tomorrow. I hear the two slices of bread on the outside, but the meat, the cheese. And then later on they tell me, I told you that. Oh, okay. I don't remember. I didn't hear it. That's why we need to walk closer to God. See, because God doesn't scream. Remember Elijah in the cave? Was there when the storm passed? Was God in the storm? No. Was God in the other? No. In the earthquake? No. God was in the small, still voice. Small, still voice. You know, like very soft. You know, sometimes as a teacher, I try that and it works. Some teachers like to scream. But screaming in a classroom only works for 2 seconds. Right? Be quiet! And the kids, huh? And then 2 seconds later, wah, wah, wah. But you know, I applied it several times they say, if you talk very quietly, then they will pay attention to what you say. And that's what we need to do. Get closer to God. In James chapter 4, verse 8, look what it says in James 4, 8. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Again, let's interpret the scripture. Does that mean that God moves away from the Christian? Does he go far away from us? No. What he's saying is that as we draw near to our Lord, who is always in the same place, he will be near to us. We are the ones that move away. We are the ones that need to be reminded to come to Christ. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. By the way, God is always calling us back. And I'm going to give you 6 verses. We're not going to go in there. You can write it down and read it later. But God is always calling us back to him. Even from the beginning. You know, when Adam and Eve had sinned, who came to look for them? God came in the afternoon and said, Adam, where are you? He was calling out for his creation. In Matthew 11, 28, that's the first one. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. In Isaiah 55, 1, it says, come to me, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. In Isaiah 44, 22, he says, return to me because I have redeemed you. In John 7, 37, it says, if anyone is thirsty, do what? Come and drink, and you will have living waters flowing through your soul. In Mark 10, 21, Jesus said, come, take up your cross and follow me. And then one more. There's many more, but you know, one more. In Matthew 25, 34, it's going to be one day, one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful words we'll ever hear. Jesus will say to us, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. God is always calling us to walk closer with him. Now, we have been called to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. And we need to be purified to serve the Lord. We don't need to be perfect to serve the Lord. Amen? Thank God for that. If not, if that was a qualification, who could serve God? Who? Only Jesus Christ. That's it. So thank God that we don't have to be perfect or even close to perfect, but we need to be purified. In many parts of the Bible, when they were going to cross the River Jordan and in other parts of the Bible, it was said to the people, sanctify yourselves because tomorrow God is going to bring a deliverance and God is going to use you. And here in 1 Samuel 16, we find a very interesting story. Now here, the prophet Samuel is coming to Bethlehem. And what was his mission? He was coming to anoint a new king. Because the old king messed up. King Saul, he messed up. Right? He disobeyed God. Talking about obeying or disobeying God's word. He disobeyed God. So God chose somebody else. You remember the story. They brought the first one, the biggest one, then the second, the third. You know, like seven brothers. And the prophet said, no, 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 no. And then he said, is there anybody else? Well, there's somebody over there. You know, a little kid, you know, isn't on duty, you know, with the cows or the sheep. Well, that was the one. God chooses whom he wants to choose. Not whom we want, but whom he wants. All right, 1 Corinthians 1. We read it before, 1 Corinthians 1, you can read it. It says that God has chosen the things that were low in this world. Okay? The lowest things for his glory. But in verse 4, when he was coming, Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. By the way, Bethlehem, not only the place where David lived, but somebody else. Can you remind me who was it that is associated with Bethlehem? I have it on the tip of my tongue. Jesus, that's right. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And he came from David. From the house of David. From Bethlehem. Think about that. So he went to Bethlehem, which means house of bread, by the way. Bethlehem means house of bread. And in Bethlehem was born who? The bread of life. Coincidence? Huh? I don't think so. So So Samuel did what the Lord said, went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. That's what they do every time I come to church. You tremble when I preach. Wow. Okay. And they said, do you come peaceably? I don't know. Maybe they were doing something, right? Like criminals always looking, right? Or kids in the classroom, going back to the classroom, right? They're doing stuff while they're looking. There's always a lookout, right, to tell when somebody, right? But he said, no, I come in peace. I come peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves with me and come with me to the sacrifice. So it's important if we want to serve God, and we are all called to serve God, to be sanctified. Finally, for today, no, I'm going to finish before 12. Yay. We are sanctified or purified through our hope. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Look what it says. And everyone, well, let me read verse 2, okay? Let's get the flavor of the thing first. Beloved, now we are the children of God. So if you're a Christian, if you have repented of your sins and trusted in Christ, today you are, now you are a child of God. Not when you die, today you are a child of God. And he says, and it has not been yet revealed what we shall be. Now we're in a good place today, amen? We have eternal life, forgiveness, but that's just, right? A preview of what we shall be. It's like a preview in a movie, right? They give you an idea so you know more or less. But when you go and watch the movie, you say, oh, right? There's so much more than the preview. And that's the same thing with us. This is not revealed what we shall be. But we know, listen to this, that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And then it says in verse 3, having read verse 2, now we understand, right? What is the hope? That we want to see Jesus Christ. And that we will be what is not revealed now. Right? One day, we're going to be bright and shiny like Jesus in the mountain of transfiguration. That's going to be you and me. Bright and shiny. No more stains, no more, wrinkles. Nothing. You're going to look good that day. Really good. And really pure, which is more important. And it says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So in other words, and as it says in Romans chapter 6, being a Christian and being forgiven of all your sins is not a license to indulge in a life of sin, but it's a hope for more purification. You see? Because people think, oh, I've been forgiven by Christ of all my sins, then, hey, I can do whatever I want. It's forgiven. No, it is a hope, the hope of glory that we have in Christ, so that we can be pure in this life as we wait for the completion of our life in heaven, as we will be totally redeemed and totally glorified. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the privilege that we have to listen to your word. Your word is pure. Your word is powerful. Your word is living and life-changing. And I pray, Father, that you will use it for your glory in our lives. I pray for this congregation and for those who are watching online today. And I pray, Father, that you will be glorified in our lives. Thank you for your word. Help us to be doers of your word. It's the most difficult thing because we have to fight against pride and against sin and against temptations and the host of wickedness. But in you we have the victory, Father. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. See you next Sunday and Wednesday night.